Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge War of the World Tour Wrap-Up Podcast for the finale, part one. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Ali Asher. Ali, how are you?
Brian, my man, what is good?
I don't know. You tell me.
You had to see that coming, no?
I had to.
Let's let the listeners in on this. So we got a question from Byron Hussey, who says, my font is too small for my old eyes. Sorry, I got to zoom that in. And to question, Brian, my man, what is good? And you saw, because you posted the question thread, and then what happened?
I turned to my agent being like, I'm trying to get involved in the RHAP community. What am I missing here?
Well, that's not what happened, but close enough.
Close enough. I sent a screenshot and be like, what joke am I missing here?
Yeah. So, no, just to explain that to Brian on air, during the Big Brother season, which you watch Big Brother, you should listen to this podcast. It's pretty good. So Rob and Eric Stein do the Summer of Stein. Mm-hmm. And it's like very funny. It's like they catch up once a week on what's going on in Big Brother. I'm sure there's a lot of other Big Brother content that you're consuming, but I would recommend this.
Of course. All the Big Brother content.
So like they got really into cameos. And that's sort of what started Rob and the whole cameo thing. I don't know if you've, whatever. Okay, I can't like bring you into the whole lore of RHAP right now at the top of the show.
One thing at a time. You don't want to overwhelm me. Then I'm going to like retreat and get out of the world.
I'm regretting using this to talk about this right now. But like to use this to open the show. But regardless, the bottom line is Pauly like did some cameos that they like laughed at. And one of the things he's like, Brian, my man, what is good? This is how Pauly talks. Anyway.
All right. Now that I picture Pauly saying that, I can see the humor in it.
You didn't see that that I was dead on?
Well, now like I do. Impression? Now I get it. Yeah, now I get it. And now I understand the humor.
All right. Let's get to this. We missed each other last week. We missed each. I'm not saying we missed each other, but we're not on the podcast.
Yeah, I went from like seeing you to now like we haven't done a podcast like almost since.
Well, that's what happens with a lot of people in my life. But
you see them once and you'll do a podcast with them.
It's complicated. Okay, so yeah, so you were on with Rourke. Grateful for that last minute situation, and then we were gonna take Thanksgiving off, and I felt guilty for having missed, so then we pulled something together with Scally and a very attitude having attitude giving shade throwing Matt Liguori.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. He was dropping shade from every angle for the first 2 minutes. I'm like, geez, I think I revoked the Akiva ban. I feel like I have to, like, he was like rough on me. He's like, oh, what is he taking a 4-week break for his wedding? Like, what the hell was that?
Oh my god, when you get like very Long Island, it's very funny. What the hell was that? No, but I thought you were coming to my defense. This is so funny and why it's funny to podcast with you, because I was like, I don't even remember him saying that about you. I only remember the shade he threw to me. And when you were getting so agitated just now, I was like, oh, Brian, like stepping up for me, like he can defend me. And it's only you only remember what he said about you.
Well, I also didn't appreciate them trying to quiz you. I know you don't like ask you the like the trivia, the factoids of like past seasons and stuff like that, but you nailed every question and they were trying to trip you up. I didn't appreciate that.
Oh, it was so satisfying though to get them, because he really thought I was gonna get it, and I was like,
there's no chance I would have gotten that.
We walked and paved this way so that they could fly. And I could like maybe say the same thing about Challenge Mania, but I wouldn't dare. Like, we've been here on the street doing the Lord's work, and now like sure, we were the like test case. Like, yes, this works. Okay, Matt, you can have your show on Dom and Colin. So don't come.
Right.
It's like, don't come for CT. Like, respect your elders.
Yeah. Respect those who paved the way, you know. This is we were on the grind during the bad times, during Bloodlines, the trilogy, all the stuff going way back when. We've been here since Free Agents.
All right, let's talk about what we're here to talk about instead of obsessing about people talking about us, which is fun to do.
That's what the challenge is. So we're kind of like fitting right in.
Are we getting to like a bachelor place with the final? Do you know what I mean? You're a known bachelor stan.
I am. I'm not sure where this is going.
So this is just, we get, instead of like a preview last time on, we get like a an almost too revealing look at the next two episodes to start this one. And TJ's like, this is the longest, most grueling. Your guts will fall out. You'll kill yourself. Like, final ever. And I, like, I don't know. To me, the challenge has always been enough. Like, it is undoubtedly, I think, the hardest, like, physical thing to, like, the final of the challenge. Not always, mm-hmm. but usually. And so, yep. like, I don't need TJ's promo to beef up that this one, really, believe us, is going to be the hardest one ever.
Got it. So you think he's going this is the most dramatic season of all time. Exactly. 2-4 out. Got it. I don't know. I don't mind them saying that to kind of like scare the people about to do it. I didn't get the sense of that, because I don't think he really does that every time. So I think when he says
that, voiceover. That was like in the preview. Because like later he was like, this is going to be a long one. And that was like more casual. But I mean, in the first, like, I'm now going to go so deep into this episode that I'm literally talking about the like before the credits part.
Right. Maybe they're doing it because they saw that Paulie almost died in the first half of the first part. They're like, all right, let's put this voiceover in because two people are going to die. So let's just let everyone know this is going to be brutal.
It's probably fair. Maybe it's like for legal reasons. Like, we warned them.
said they're all here voluntarily. They signed all the paperwork. That's why he put all the clips of Paulie being like, I will die until I get this final. Well, he said he would do it, so he's doing it.
I also want to know, again, just I'm really only focused on the first 5 minutes of this like preview of the final. They immediately tell us that they're going to limit it to 4 people on each team. Why are they telling us this an episode before this happened? Did you like that they like spoiled this or no?
Yeah, I like knowing more than the contestants to like prepare myself sometimes about what's going to happen, like how I think things might go down, like how all the different, if there's any type of strategy that leads up to it. I kind of like knowing it before the contestants though.
I think there are pros and cons. Like, I can at least see your side. And at first I was like, ooh, like this is a little sweet. It's like, oh, maybe decimating the other team wasn't the right strategy. Like, I was feeling a lot of like, ha ha ha. But then as it went on, and it's like, I was hedging emotionally. So yes, maybe I'm prepared next week, but like, seeing Leroy like triumph, and we'll talk about his performance, but like be amazing, and I'm like, I swear to God, if Leroy goes out because he's like exhausted from carrying this team, you know what I mean? Like, I was just like already pre-upset, and it's like, it would have been such a sweet, horrible but sweet emotional moment to like get invested, like, okay, I guess the final's the final. Maybe they're gonna drop a person here and there, but like, let's be on for the ride. And then next week they hit us with, even in the preview to next week, they hit us with like, after we're like, yes, this is Leroy's time, or look at the UK team, like a well-oiled machine. D is pulling her weight. CT is doing great. Everyone's doing well. And then it's like, you're dropping to 4. That, I was sort of like, that, the impact of it was sort of taken away by it just like being a blip in the preview.
I think maybe the one thing I don't like is I don't like that they told us like at what moment we know they're going to drop the 4. Like, we know it's going to be a, like, involving a puzzle. Kind of wish we didn't know the portion of the challenge that's gonna cut people, because now I'm already freaking out for Leroy because it's a puzzle, or if they told us it was swimming or something like that. I kind of wish we didn't know at what point they're gonna cut the 4, but now we know the moment. So if there's something else that happens before the puzzle, like, we know that's not involved or anything like that. So I do wish they didn't say when it was gonna happen.
And like, that isn't that why they do this? Like, that's sort of like the money shot, is like the impact of having it ripped away from somebody right at the end. And it's like, yes, exactly telling you how it's going to happen. I am hopeful for Leroy because they also spoiled that he would struggle. So I feel like that, like, they can't give us that also. So maybe we'll see.
Right.
But like, we know way too much about this moment. Like, now we're just like, the whole episode, I was sort of like, well, none of this matters because only 4 of them are going to make it anyway.
Yeah. And now maybe US will be down 1, but yeah. I don't know. I sometimes don't mind going in. I mean, the challenge does this all the time, right? They always do like this season on, and they always do the mid-season trailer showing a lot of stuff. And I feel like they sometimes even flash ahead during the final of like, be like, this is what's coming. So I thought it was okay how they kind of played it all out.
What do you think that about how this is going to happen, though? Like, do you like that they're dropping to four? We've done a lot of speculation about, like, they might drop one here and there, but, like, that it's going to go from their entire team down to four. For the UK, it's only one person. But
right.
I guess you know, it's two I do for like the it. Other side.
I do like it because I didn't want them to have to try to, like, balance out the final the whole way. Like the first challenge that they had to, like, balance out the weight and it could be advantage one way or the other. I kind of just want them to get to a point where they can just, like, go and just whatever the challenge final is, that's what they do. And they don't have to worry about, you know, height or weight requirements or anything like that. So I kind of like that they're doing it halfway. Like, part of it, you may have an advantage for having extra people, maybe disadvantage. And then part of it is your best just go.
So I totally agree with that. And also Shelby Heinmiller said Allie called it, but how do we feel about the fact that they're taking the teams down to four people for the last part of the final? I do not recall saying that, but I like where your head's at.
I think Rourke, that was, I mean, unless other people were saying it, Rourke definitely said it on the podcast that they with her, that that was her thing, that she definitely thought people were going to be cut along the way, so.
Yeah, no, it certainly wasn't me, but I also don't think, and yes, shout out to Rourke and everyone who made predictions about that. I don't think anybody thought it would just, like, lop to equal. Like, that, I think, is not to take anything away from Rourke, but just in general, mm-hmm. like, something, you know, we come on, or a version of us come on every week and mull this about. I really never thought that they would go to equal. I like that they are, only because, like, part of me thinks, like, if you came in with more people, like, you should continue to have that ratio. Like, it's sort of like what I like in the past, that they've, like, allowed teams to be, like, heinously unequal as sort of, like, a punishment for, or, you know, not a punishment, but, like, the result of the season stands. It doesn't just get erased, you know, like, there's a reason. Yep. We don't have 18 people go to the final and then just cut it to four, you know. There's a whole season of this. But at the same time, the way that they did the equalizers, like you were talking about, was so distracting to me, because I'm willing to be convinced, like, I'm that little meme, like, change my mind, whatever, but I don't see where they left a single advantage for having more people on your team.
So, I mean, I guess we'll see what the next stage is, assuming there is some other stage before they get the even, but I think the advantage that there would be theoretically for this time out is that you can swap people out, right? Like, you could see how exhausted that it made Paulie, and at least at some portion he was able to try to not have to worry about carrying this stuff. But if that was like Jordan or CT on the UK side and they were like dying, like, I don't know how they would have carried the rest of the things. They just wouldn't have people to swap in and out. So that there is an advantage to having more people that you can swap in and out. I think the problem is that you have to still be able to go 4 miles. Like, I think if you were able to swap out whenever you wanted, yes, I think that would have been a better advantage, because then you can, you know, do a mile on off, rather than 4 miles. It's still a long time to carry. I think it was 20 pounds per person. So what is that, like 140 pounds across the U.S. team or whatever it is. So that is still very tiring.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking too, is like, you have 40 more pounds and you still have to go 40 miles at each point, and then everybody gets a rest at the checkpoint. You know what I mean? Like, yes, it's not the same as being able to, like, fully swap out and take those 4 miles off, but you're still walking or running at pace the 4 miles mm-hmm. when you're not carrying it. When you are carrying it, you're carrying it 20, you're carrying 40 more pounds distributed. So, okay, like 10 more pounds, whatever. And everybody's getting an opportunity to rest at the checkpoint. So it's sort of like, I agree, like, there should have been, maybe being able, they determined that being able to swap during would have been too much of an advantage. But I felt like not only was, to me, the being able to, maybe it was just because the being able to swap didn't appear to help them. Maybe if they were equal, I would have thought it was fine. But at the checkpoint, they had to let two more people eat. Two more people, like, I guess the catapult, they didn't have to do anything. And we'll talk about it this all. But, like, just at every turn, I was sort of like, it is such a deep disadvantage. And maybe it's also who you have on your team. So if instead of Kara and Ninja, they had Jordan and Tori, maybe that works. You know, like, maybe that is an advantage to have those people. So maybe I'm talking myself out of it, or you help talk me out of it. But I, at least watching the episode, I felt like it was very not unfair, but, like, not an advantage.
Yeah, and I mean, well, like I was saying, we still have to see, like, what the next stage, or, like, if the next stage is just immediately the puzzle and cutting down the four, then I think I might lean to agree. But if there's a whole other stage where having two extra people really do help, then I think that kind of does help balance it all together.
Yeah, I think even without that, I think it should have been like only four people, or only five people have to do the math and only five people have to do the eating, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, that probably should have been the case.
And then, so do we know the structure? Like, are you did he say there are three stages, or you're just like saying?
No, I have no idea. There could be two. I assume there's at least three, right? Because there's going to be this stage, and then some other stage to cut down the four, and then some stage when there's that four, and then it's just a question of if there's one or two more along the way. There's an overnight stage seemingly, and then like there's some other stuff that's happening. So it's just a matter of when do they cut the people to get down to even.
I hope they cut them in the next, like, especially for having spoiled it all. I don't want to watch another half episode knowing that three of these people aren't making it. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't mind. I think the way they've spoiled it, it's like opening shot. Let's do the puzzle, cut them, and then start the. I'm sure it's not going to happen like that. But
yeah, I'm going to assume that, honestly,
the Band-Aid.
Yeah, I think it's going to go almost all the way. Then they're going to cut people right before like the brief final stage before they declare the winner, just to make it as ultimate like painful as possible for the people that get cut to go like 90% of the way of a final and then still get cut.
Okay, so I distracted us enough. We haven't even really talked about the episode, but I do want to distract you one more time and just say that the lead up. I said this a few weeks ago. I don't know if you were on or not, but that wasn't Matt Liguori style shade. I just like can't remember anything. The music has started being strange, I feel like, and the two songs they did in the opening, like the lead up of them still preparing at the house to go to the final, were mm-hmm. so completely not the right choice. I was so confused.
Whatever the second was, like the Heaven song, like Find Me the Place, that like that's such like a early 90s like sports movie montage-y type song. Like that, I remember those like, either from like The Sandlot or Little Big. It's from some like one of those movies, and I can't like take it out of there. So it's just a weird song to put into like a hype video. So like you're supposed to get geared up, you do like a final, and it's like this type of stuff. It was very bizarre. It was very jarring.
It's happened to I feel like a couple times, like a couple other times this season. This was like the most noticeable, maybe. But like the challenge, I feel like has usually done such an amazing job of the music. And I'm not necessarily a music person, and it isn't the first thing that jumps out at me. But watching the challenge, unlike watching any other show, again, just for me personally, I've really noticed the music happening and like. Amps me up, like I've like gotten right into it because of it. So I just strange choices, honestly.
I definitely noticed it too. It was jarring.
Okay, I want to make one thing and then I'll be quiet and we can actually talk about the opening of the challenge and whatever else, the angel gif. Okay, but I want to make one change about how I felt about CT this season.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Don't get that excited, not the big deal. So CT is sort of like assessing the UK talent to this weird music before they start. Right. Before Paulie talks about how lean he is and how he's never going to quit. CT's like, we have Tori and Jordan. They speak for themselves. D's been great. Rogan, whatever. And he's like, and we got me. Like, I won two finals. It's me. Now, remembering how devastated I was in the beginning of the season when CT's like quote unquote best friends picked Turbo and sent him to the UK side.
Yep.
And I just like hated that so much. I'm probably happy with how the season ended up for CT. Like it had, like I would rather take this sort of like blind hero worship where we don't really understand what's going on this season to justify it. Then I would had like every week been like the UK noobs trying to like get CT out and like talking crap about him. Like, I think I'm in a better place because of that than I would have been otherwise.
I think that's fair. This was such a weird season for CT just in general that like, yeah, I don't know if I would want to change it because I do kind of like the way he ended up and where he's at now. So I don't know. See, the CT story arc this whole season has been so bizarre. It's got my head in a pretzel. So I'm good with where we are.
But I still don't really want to see him next season. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's Maybe he'll be like watching Tribal Council in a booth somewhere. He can just comment on it.
That's a good spot for. Let's have him. And I don't want TJ to leave. And I know it would be bananas if he ever did leave. But I would actually like CT in that spot. I think he has the same flavor of like not overdoing it and just being like, you killed it or you're an embarrassment vibes. As
maybe
TJ.
It could be a Seacrest and Dunkelman situation and just be both of them.
How dare you? Even though I said it, I'm like, how dare you? Let's talk about Pauly and Leroy here, because like, how can we not?
Yeah. They're both, you know, gearing up, and Pauly's he's really like setting. This was like the classic, like when you're like the show Whammy, like you're like I'm not gonna, he's like announced like I'm not gonna hit a whammy. I have so much gas in the tank. I've been preparing for this. This is me. I'm ready to go. Like he had to know even saying that, like, man, if they put this in, like I'm definitely gonna gas out in the final. I'm just giving them all the material they can possibly want.
I was so worried about it being Leroy though, for some reason. Maybe because I'm used to Pauly. But like I just like this played me, this like this Leroy conversation where he was like, I'm not quitting. I'm not even worried about me finishing.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess maybe it'll still happen, but it seemed like Leroy's physically wise is going strong. But yeah, I mean, it was setting Pauly up big time for a while, what later happened to him.
Okay, what did you think of the TJ Angel gif heard around the world?
It was great. I was more loving the fact that him showing up on the ATV. I just think that gave me such like flashback of Jeff Probst cutting through the weeds and getting to the final travel. So I love whenever they go. I know it's super cheesy and stuff, but I don't care. It gets me every time. I love that they do it.
See, okay. Yeah, I actually didn't like the Angel thing because I don't even want them to joke about TJ dying. But the ATV thing, it felt a little low energy to like a little like he's come in such badass ways before. There have been helicopters behind him and intro. Like to me, like him like vroom vroom on like a little ATV was very slow, was like very low impact to me.
I just love that he stared like right at the camera, like he was like never worked on a TV set before, and like he was like, where do I look? I'll just look right at the camera. I just thought it was funny.
I really was distracted by Zach's crop top for like a multitude of reasons.
Yeah, he was really showing off the abs there.
He was like immediately in shorts and no shirt, which is fine. Apparently it was extremely hot and they're exercising, but just like already have your shirt up like that as the open. Like I'm surprised the producers weren't like, Zach, put your shirt down, because it did kind of throw the mood off a little bit too.
And I can't believe I'm asking this at the finale, but where are they? Like, do we know what country they're in?
I don't like to be quizzed, Ryan.
But like, normally it's like, oh, we're at the beautiful blank in, you know, Peru or whatever they are. Like, I don't think he's announced, like, for the last month, I'm like, all right, where are they? I keep waiting for him to announce the country. And like, he just hasn't said it. So like, I don't know where they are.
We're never going to have a best of the year or best of the 5 years podcast. But if he did, I think that sound bite. Like, I can't believe I'm asking this at the finale, but where are they? And just my silence is certainly making it. I'm looking it up right now. They are in Thailand. And that doesn't even sound remotely familiar to me. I mean, I've heard of Thailand, but I didn't know they were there.
Yeah, there's no chance they have said that like the entire time. So
wait, I'm crying at that. That is so funny to me.
And I know everyone likes mocking us, like, oh, how do they not know the answer to this? I bet you there is a decent amount of people listening to this. When I said, where are they? They were like, yeah, you know what? Actually, I don't know either. And you're not gonna admit it, but I know you are. You don't know where they are either. And now we all know it's Thailand. So it's like that kid in class that like is scared to ask the stupid question because like they don't want to sound stupid, but really no one else knows the answer either. So I took the bullet for everyone and I asked the question.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We're all better for it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so funny to me. I'm sorry. I'm like crying. I'm sure TJ said it in the open. I'm sure he was like, we're here in the jungles of Thailand. Like, I'm sure he said
it. No, he has. I know he's not said it in the last like month or so, because I've been actively listening to like, where are they? And he just doesn't say it. Maybe it's cut out with every time he says, this is bloody hell.
My favorite thing that somebody said, maybe it was like bloody hell Thailand and they had to cut it out. And so honestly, they never said it. No, but my favorite thing, and I think Kyle Picard said this, but multiple people have said it, and maybe I'm misattributing it, but like that actually fits right into what I'm going to say. One of my favorite jokes people have made about us is like, take a drink if like they can't remember someone who's played recently, and like finish your drink if they were on this season that they're talking about. Okay. I'm sorry. You're going to have to like continue, because I need to get myself together after that.
So we set up the first stage. There's a long explanation of the entire first stage. It was, so you pick up a gurney with a bunch of sandbags, 20 pounds per team member.
Which, do we have to call it a gurney?
Yeah, I guess not.
No, but, no, that's not on you. You, no, have not to call
me. I know you meant DJ. I know you meant not me. I don't know. What else would you call it?
I don't know. Like, it's just like a platform. I don't know. What did they call it when they had to do the other thing?
I don't like
that
quiz,
was not
Allie.
Helpful, but you know what I mean? When they had to do the trap, the like pyramid thing, and they had to, it was, I think they called it like a platform.
Probably.
Who cares?
Right. So
I'm sorry.
Carry the platform, 20 pounds per team member. You have to run 4 miles. You have to do it 4 times. That's 16 miles. Quick math. After every lap, you have to do a checkpoint, and you have to complete it. You can never have more than 4 people on a gurney. You can change members out at each checkpoint. You cannot carry the bags, which will come into play later. And you cannot tamper with any gurney, which will come into play later. Those are all the rules.
Yes. And that was very much in voiceover, not to Kyle Picard the situation and keep track of that. But you knew that was coming, like something was going to come into play with that. Not only because you just told us, but because it was like full voiceover.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you like this as a stage one? Whatever final portion.
This is a challenge final. Like of all things that they do, like carrying stuff, running a long time, and doing puzzles / eating / weird carnival games. Like this is a challenge final. This is what you come in for when you come to this point in the show.
I am glad it's not the entire final, like the Shrine of the Silver Monkey challenge. I forget which one that was.
Rivals too.
And I don't care. So, no, so that wasn't to you. Mazel tov for knowing that.
I just know because that was when CT and West dominated.
So I just like, at first I like kind of misunderstood when I was watching this. I went back and watched several parts multiple times, including this rule setup, because we got a lot of questions about the rules. But when I first watched it, I was like, oh, this is like, it kills the momentum. Like, it's just, you're kind of not the moment, their momentum, but my momentum as a viewer of like, you can't really see how far they've gotten. You don't know how much is left. Like, it just seems to be a circle. And then it ends like the Shrine of the Silver Monkey challenge. I'm happy that at least this is just stage one, because I really do like, I would rather break it into parts than have this be the standalone final, because I really like to see like distance traveled. I like the high up shot, like the drone shot of like them running and the marker, like, you know, Leroy, whatever, like the drama of that. And so I think like having a circuit be the entire final is not exciting for me. But for stage one, like, yeah, this is sort of like a what you're made of. It looks appropriately hard. Like, I don't want to do it. It looks very difficult. It reads on television. So like, I'm happy.
Yeah. And I think that's fair, that wanting more. And luckily we are going to get more. We are going to have an overnight portion and something else along the way, plus probably more. So yeah, I think this leading to other stuff will be good. We'll be solid.
Speaking of shady people, Jonathan Foreman says, could Brian walk 16 miles without carrying any weight at all?
Yeah. I feel like I need to punch someone. Like, I'm getting hit from all angles. Like, I'm getting like insulted. I got Jonathan Foreman coming at me that I can't walk 60 miles, which I almost definitely can't. I got Matt Liguori coming at me about the time, like around the wedding. I need to take a stand somewhere. I try to get in the RM community and I feel like I'm being like revolted, like a bad organ.
God, I'm sorry. This is one of your top five episodes of all time. And I feel like I just called the shot that's going to now destroy you in the rest of this episode accidentally.
Over the future of the challenge. Now I'm going to go away.
But I see, like, he didn't give you a time. Also, the real rudeness in this question is towards me, because he doesn't even ask me. He knows I couldn't. But like, could you walk 16 miles without carrying any weight? Like, in an unlimited amount of time, and you're just walking? Like, I feel like you could do that. I could walk 16 miles.
I feel like I can. Yeah, I feel like I can. I feel like I can do 60 miles. I can do that.
It's just like you walk one foot in front of the other, have a water bottle, and take, you know, 20 hours if you need to.
Right.
How dare you, Jonathan? How dare you?
Mm-hmm. I can
But yeah, also, like, how dare Matt? Now I'm just going to get pissed. Like, this is what Matt was getting at me about, like, being, like, not on the podcast often. I'm like, sue me for having a job. Like, sorry you had to get married and you, like, took 2 weeks off to, like, get a wife.
I put my vacation days in with my boss.
I can't. Okay. I think accidentally in that scenario, I know what you meant, but that would be me. You know what I mean? Like, you don't tell Rob that taking off. You text me and say I'm gonna be out for 2 weeks. I'm certainly not your boss.
You're my agent.
Well, we'll talk about that, an update on that. See, I said this was your best episode and now I'm fully taking us off the rails.
No, it's perfect. I love going off the rails.
All right, I'm gonna take us back on the rails, sort of. I'm not gonna bring us back to the challenge proper, the final proper, but I wanna ask an overarching question. I feel like in the beginning of this episode and a little bit through this season, we've gotten the thread of like the great Pauly versus Jordan rivalry, like, you know, the new bananas and Wes, the new bananas and Jordan, the new bananas and me, like the rivalry of the challenge.
Yeah.
It feels very, particularly in this episode, forced to me. Like, are you buying Pauly and Jordan as a great rivalry of the challenge?
No, I'm buying them as this episode, clearly not with Sandy, just two like very good competitors in their own right. But what made like Bananas and Wes and like CT in the mix was like the history that they had with each other and like either their real hatred or like their well-manufactured hatred. Like, it doesn't seem like Jordan and Pauly at all hate each other. It just seemed like Kara hates Jordan and then Pauly kind of defends Kara. But in every confessional, it's like, you know, I may not like Jordan, but I clearly respect him as a competitor. There was never that confessional between Bananas and Wes. There was never like, you know, I hate him as a person, but I respect him. There was like, I hate him as a person and he's like the worst competitor ever and I hope he dies. Like, that was the confessionals. It was nothing about respect or anything. So like, they could both be good competitors and that could be a rivalry because they're going to face off, but it's very different.
Yeah, I totally agree with all of that. The other thing too is like, I'm sorry, and it's going to seem like I'm clouded by this performance today. I watched it today. This performance yesterday. I did not expect Pauly to not be able to complete the final. I mean, I guess the jury's out on whether or not he will be able to, but I did not expect him to perform this poorly. I still do not think that Pauly holds a candle or is even in the same conversation as Jordan. Period. Like, I get that they're both schemers and strategists and that Pauly is good. But like, to me, to be this like great rivalry, like it has to be mutual. And I don't think Jordan has a shred of is intimidated at all by Pauly. Like,
no,
you could say that about Bananas and other people, but I don't think that's true. Like, I do think like Bananas and Wes have equally felt threatened by each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's that like push pull. This is just Pauly purely in confessionals tacking him on to someone else who's a big threat. Does that make sense? Like, it's almost like when Michael Scott says managed enough times, you're going to associate him as a manager. Like, if Pauly creates these rivalries with great challengers, maybe you will think he is. And I'm not trying to say he's bad, but like, to force down my throat that this is to be the best, I have to beat the best, and I am the best, and we're finally going to face off. Like, nobody has been waiting for this.
No, if anything, Pauly should be building like kind of like wrote not to the same extent, but like Rogan, like he wants to redeem himself. Like I think it was the last time we saw Pauly, he was like gassing out again at the challenge before the final when he like couldn't make it up that rope and just kept falling down and left right before the finals. Like, that is what he should be trying to redeem himself for, not showing he's the best. Like, he should have redemption on his mind.
Okay, so I'm asking this totally out of order, but whatever. This is your best episode, not mine. So Connor McCain says, talking more about whether he doesn't say this, I'm setting it up now. Talking more about whether or not it was an advantage to have more people or less or disadvantage. Connor McCain says, I'd like to hear you guys talk through the US's gurney rotations. What do you think the best strategy for that is?
Yeah, I didn't really have any problems with how they're doing it. I think the way to do it was have like two guys and two girls on each time, and have the guys on opposite sides to try to help balance the weight out, and then at each checkpoint try to swap some people out. I just think Paulie tried to do too much too quickly and didn't realize just how long this would be, and just overexerted himself too much.
It was interesting. I thought what the U.S. did well and better than the U.K. did, at least from what we saw, but the results, I guess, speak for themselves, is like Cam or Ashley or someone who was rotating off would be up ahead and would be like sharp turn. Like we see in the beginning when they first pass them, like they're finding the paths. They have some people like literally being trailblazers and finding the path. And I thought they were using their extra people well. Granted, there's only one extra person off on the UK, so maybe they can't really afford to do that when someone has to watch the bags, whatever. What I thought they didn't do well is, like, they seem to be putting one person on both posts kind of often. Like, Cam would be in the front by herself. And I just, like, think, like, I guess the story we were presented with was that Ninja and Kara were absolutely useless. So then maybe at that point you have to, because you can only have four people on. But like, really, they're that useless that it's better to have Cam by herself in the front. And then this is sort of a rule question. Like, I did feel like they were rearranging themselves. So is it that you can't rotate fully off, but if someone's in the back they can move to the front? Like, could that, because it did kind of seem like there were some rearrangements being made during the 4 miles.
I would assume that I think that's the case, that you have to have the same four people on, but you can move them around as much as you want. You just, those are the four that have to carry it. I guess you could even have, you could take someone off and just have three people theoretically if you want, but obviously that's not really a benefit, so that's why I guess you could do it, but you can't have someone else jump on, would be the rule.
So you could have four people as the carrier and only three people actually touching it, and then that fourth person could relieve somebody during it. It's just those are the four people.
I think that would be the case.
And then the other thing I would say is, like, Kara and Ninja seem to be on the same time, and if those are your people you're worried about, then don't have them on at the same time. But maybe they didn't know that until the, because it's really not that many times. Like, we've only seen three laps, correct?
Right. Yeah. And it I get being worried about Kara, like we see her freaking out with the food, but like, of all things, Kara is like, she's physically crazy strong. So
I was
like,
just
you can't
that.
Take that away from her. So like, she can't carry a pole on her shoulder. Like, that's what she does all her life, is this stuff. So that like did not make sense to me. Unless you just thought like endurance wise she would gas out, but like that, even like Ninja, like that's what she should be able to do too. Like, that didn't make any sense to me.
It was absolutely shocking that these two women who are like so physically fit and just literally muscle can't carry this. Because it didn't seem like they were having endurance trouble, like with the running. Like, Paulie like had to stop and like breathe, you know? Like, but it just seemed like they couldn't hold the weight, which is like truly, as you're saying, like what they do for a living, literally.
Right. And they weren't like running. Like, I mean, I obviously like walking with, you know, weight on your shoulders is different, but it's not like, you know, you're running 20 miles, like holding some weight. Like, it is still just walking the time. So like, I don't know. That like did not make sense to me in the slightest.
All right. Let's talk about some of these checkpoints. Checkpoint one, not really much to say about leverage up, where they had to catapult three coconuts into a basket.
No, it was just absolutely hysterical that they were like, how do we do this? And someone says, Zach, jump on it. And he just makes like a giant leap. And I thought he was like break his ankle or something like that, the way he was doing that. Because obviously you just like push on it. And like, that's how you launch the coconut. But that, I mean, that was very funny.
I did love that too, because it's like, yeah, he takes this flying leap, and then with no further explanation, they just cut to him now pushing on it. Like, you know, they don't say like, wow, that didn't work. Like, it's just like, oh, shakes his head, pushing.
And they did like a cool like slow motion of him getting on it, and then the coconut just sailed like super far away. They're like, oh, well, let's just like gently tap on it to try to like control the pressure.
But the UK is like mostly ahead, although it's sort of neck and neck, and then they get to checkpoint two. basic math happening.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I'll say about these is I did think some of them were much harder. I think when it's like Ed, the first number and the last number, that's like super easy. But it was like count all the eights in this whole thing. like when you're super tired and you're kind of seeing double and stuff like that, I could see that actually being a little more challenging. That's like when it's like, you know, count the E's and like a long sentence and your brain like skips over like the and stuff like that. So I could have actually seen that tripping some people up, to be fair.
So I thought actually the whole challenge was hard. And I know it doesn't sound like that because I just said it wasn't. But I thought, like, yes, the math problems were not difficult. But when you're under pressure, A, like you're saying, you have to look at it in these like six rows of all of these close numbers. You're far away from it. You can't like use your hand to mark anything. You have no paper, and you're under the stress of the final. And I love the graphic of them talking about that. I thought that was really well done, where like the numbers are falling down behind them talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
However, and I do agree with you that some of them are harder. Like, I actually think Rogan's was one of the, I paused on Rogan's because I wanted to see what the hell was taking him so damn long. And it was count the total number of both threes and sevens. So like, you have to look at a three and say one, and look at a seven and say two, look at a three and say three. And look, yeah. So it's not even like adding the numbers, it's counting them. Yeah.
No, that's then, tough, because there's also like threes and eights kind of look like, obviously they don't look like, but they're close enough that when you're like seeing double, like you can mix them up, and sevens and ones could kind of like blend together. So like, I could, like I said, I could see that not being hard, but like, you know, tripping you up.
So yeah, so it's just count the total number of threes and sevens, then subtract that by seven, and then add three. The easiest one, though, not to bully Kara this whole time, but count before I even found out that the answer was zero. So that even makes it worse. Hers was count the eights in one row and subtract by the eights in another, which does not mean add up the eights in the one and add and then subtract by the sum of the eights in the bottom. It means cancel each eight out and see what remains. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's subtract one number by the same number. So it's even more ridiculous that it added to zero. That's even more embarrassing. But even if the answer was like there was one eight that remained in the second row, then it's negative eight. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just so, like, it was so far and away the easiest one. And she's having just like a full mental breakdown about it. I don't mean to undermine the stress of it, but like, still.
Yeah, it was just so funny. Like, Spotcher would be like, it's like negative six. Like, it's one of those things where you're doing a multiple choice question and the choice is like 2, 3, 4, or 5. And you're like, I have 100. And it's like, how can this, like, this? I'm way off. Like, what do I do here?
Which, again, is completely impossible. Like, it wasn't even, like, how does she get negative six from subtracting eights from eights?
It was wild. Yeah.
Couldn't possibly be six.
She was at her all time, like, just funniest this entire final. Just her full-on meltdowns like throughout the whole time. It was just crazy.
Another crazy thing was that Paulie apparently weighs 150 pounds.
Well, I think he's like, he's pretty short, right? Isn't he like 5'7", I think? So, you know, however muscular you are, if you're like 5'7", you're not going to be that big.
Well, that's what's wild to me, is I can like more or less, and I almost think guys are the same with this, like I can more or less understand how much a woman weighs. Like, I could guess probably within 10 pounds, like how much almost any woman weighs. I have zero concept, and this has been my entire life, zero concept of what a man weighs. Like, Brian, if you ask me to guess your weight right now, I might not even come within 100 pounds. Like,
if I necessarily want to play this game.
No, I'm not gonna, but I just, and because men and women carry weight just like fundamental, like so differently, and height matter, and like, but it's just like a fun, not so fun, or not interesting right at all factor at me. I like might have guessed that I knew Paulie was short, but I like might have guessed that he was like 190 pounds. I said this recently about my brother. I like was like, oh, Rob weighs like this, and my mom laughed at me. She was like, he does not weigh that. Like, what are you talking about?
So you should be like the Bizarro Carnival game where it's like, if I guess within 50, you lose because I'm not going to.
I like very seriously couldn't come between. I would probably get, I'm not going to guess your weight, but I could very easily be in like a 50 to 100 pound swing.
There you go.
Because I don't know what it's like. At least with women, I have like a sort of like, I understand like how much I weigh and how much other, but like, I have no idea like what height, like what someone 6'2", like how that affects their weight.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
This is fascinating.
But Jonathan Foreman is the reason that I'm so in on this, is because he texted me before I even watched the episode that Polly was 150 pounds. So I thought you were going to react to that, but you seem like that sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, just because, like, if he was, like, 6'2", and, like, he had his physical appearance, he would probably be about, like, 190, 200, something like that. But I think he's pretty short, so it kind of makes sense.
Okay, well, good for you.
Yeah.
You have a feature at a carnival.
Yeah.
What else even happened? Oh, wait, I want to say something for a change.
Go for it.
Do you, if you had to guess a celebrity that Jordan reminds you of the most, who would you say?
Actually, I don't have the faintest idea who
just like take a feat, just like think about it. So what do you think? There's like no wrong answer.
Who he looks like?
Just like whatever you want to answer it.
I was about to say like a bad joke. I'm not going to say that. So you just say who you're going to say.
I feel like I know what the joke is going to be, so let's move on. So actually, I have no idea.
When you tell me if it was too mean to say on air.
So I was going to, say that I was watching part of it on 1.2 speed, and. Jordan does this like bit about like we're on your bumper, and at 1.2 speed at least he is very Jim Carrey in this moment, so somebody can like at me if they think I'm insane.
Interesting. I'll look at that.
You have to watch it at 1.2 speed and just that scene. Okay,
is he very like facially expressive?
Yes, and he does that a lot. Like he's very like, I watched it once and I was like, okay, who is that? And like went back and watched again, I was like, oh, it's Jim Carrey.
All right, I'll see if I pick up on that.
Is there anything, by the way? Well, this is just like setting up my own note. I felt at this point in the episode, when we're before we get to the shove heard around the world, the UK is like catching the US after the US has like a pretty big lead after the second checkpoint, after Rogan can't do the math, and I almost think it's like very telling at this point, like how the teams are compared to each other, because like, yes, the puzzles matter and yes, the checkpoints matter, and we've seen finals won and lost there, but like the UK I think is definitively like a faster, stronger, well, more well-oiled machine, at least in the in-betweens.
Yeah, and I actually thought we saw a little bit of CT's like importance. I thought like how he like reacted in certain situations before, obviously, like the penalty and stuff. But I just thought his composure and stuff like really helped some of the volatile. But like, you have Jordan, who could be sometimes of a hothead. You have Rogan, who like really probably needs confidence after his last final thing. You have D, who, you know, has an up and down thing. And I think Tori would be solid no matter what. But I thought having CT there is kind of like the experienced veteran actually really did come in handy for the UK, especially during this type portion of the challenge.
Speaking of handy, what did you think of his big shove?
Yeah, I didn't think it was like that much. I mean, obviously, I guess he, you know, messed with the gurney, so you can't do that. But I don't know, if I was on the Team UK, I would have not. I would have been pretty upset by that call.
Jamie Lefevre says, if you could strategically body check one person in the final, who would you aim for?
Yeah, I think you would probably go for Paulie. I feel like that's the move.
Kick him while he's down, huh?
Yeah.
All right, well, but let's do Brian's choice. Do you want to keep talking about things in order? Do you want to skip to the penalty to talk about
the show? Let's skip to the penalty. I think we're there. Let's skip to the penalty.
Go ahead.
So CT gets a 10-minute penalty for Team UK for apparently messing with Team US's gurney when he, you know, you're on the way to the train track and choo-choo, he came through and bumped them aside and got a 10-minute penalty.
Wendy Jong says, did Team UK deserve the penalty? It seemed to me like CT just body checked the US team, not that he deliberately tampered with their equipment.
Yeah, I thought the way the voiceover even went was like, you can't like cut the gurney in half or something like that, so you make it impossible for them to carry the weight and stuff. I didn't even interpret the rule the way that they did, that CT would have broken.
Yeah, so I went back to watch it again, and after watching it again, TT did violate the rule. And now I should have written down what they said. So now I'm pulling it up and maybe I'll try to listen while we're doing this, because it's not helpful that I listen to it again without taking it down. Sorry, everyone. But he, what, like, they kind of described it as a body check, but what actually happened is that he put his hand on their gurney and shoved the gurney. And then I'm not saying that this is the reason that their gurney broke, but their gurney did break, and maybe that's why, like, the penalty was enacted, like, because he, whether or not he, like, I interpreted the rules also at first hearing that it was like you can't purposely dismantle it, like, at the checkpoint while they're not looking, whatever. But he put his hand, shoved the gurney, and then in the next scene, the gurney's broken. So, like, he did do that even if it wasn't his intention. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I guess that's fair. My more issue is, what did you think of how they implemented the penalty? The fact that they had them stop for 10 minutes as opposed to just adding 10 minutes on to their final time.
Yeah, Devin Dodson said, should Team UK's penalty been served in the middle of the course? I think it should have been served at the end, slash added to their total time. Here's what I liked about it. It was absolutely random, but at least we saw drama. It was tense. Like, okay, they don't know how far ahead they are. Is the US going to pass them? We see CT being pissed in real time and then having to recover. Like, this to me, while random, was much more interesting. And if they had just added, like, at the end, surprise, you get 10 minutes added on, and now the U.S. wins, we would have come on the podcast, like, furious.
So I'm fine with them telling them immediately that you're getting a 10-minute penalty. But, like, I think you tell them that, like, you're getting a 10-minute penalty added on to your time, and then you just keep going. I think the fact that, like, if Team UK was told you're getting a 10-minute penalty, and then they have a choice. You want to get it added on, or do you now want to rest? I think getting, like, a breather there is, like, not the worst thing in the world for them. And obviously, I think Paulie and Team US, if they were going to get a penalty, which it seems like at some point they're going to, probably would have liked to have, like, a breather. So I was very surprised that they just had them sit there for 10 minutes.
That's a fair point, that it almost became like an advantage to be able to rest. But I just, like, I wouldn't have wanted to watch it get added at 10 minutes. Even if it, like, actually is less fair, I would have been really pissed if it's, even if they tell us and it's just added times. Like, I know it will come down to added times anyway, but I want to see a team finish. Like, I want to see who's in the lead. I loved being able to see that, like, wow, even with a 10-minute penalty, the, like, U.S. is still that far behind. Like, we never get to see things like that.
Yeah, no, that was a cool, like, confession. I'd be like, yeah, we've been sitting here for 10 minutes. Like, where are they? Did someone die? And literally didn't know. Yeah, Paulie.
Sorry, I'm still trying to listen to the chat. Oh, here we go. Okay, here's the important rules that we're going over that we're going to talk about. TJ just said, you cannot carry the bags. You have to carry them on the gurney. So that's one thing. Note that. Yep. He says, if you break any rule, you will get a time penalty. And listen up. If anything happens to your gurney or it breaks, you will not get a new one. You cannot intentionally tamper with your opponent's gurney in any way. And they cut right to CT. And that's what I mean. Like, he didn't, you know, tinker with it and, like, unscrew the screws, but he tampered with their gurney.
All right, then. All right. I guess then I kind of support the ruling then.
Ironically, he would have been better off directly pushing them. Like, if he had pushed Paulie, I think he would have been fine.
Right.
Also exciting about this is, like, how funny is it that, like, old CT impulsive behavior harms him even as dad CT?
Yeah, we got a little bit of, like, his old self. Like, you know, that was the old school, like, line of a... with trains on the track, watch out. That was like a prime CT move. So little flash in the path.
Okay. And then we also have, well, I guess the other rule violation doesn't come till later. So we will hold off and go back to checkpoint two.
Right.
Where else were we?
I mean, checkpoint two, I think it was pretty much, I think we covered it.
Checkpoint three.
Yeah. So now we're at the toss the ball in the bucket, and then if not, eat food.
Ugh. I hated this. Akiva texted me that he, or Twitter DM'd me, whatever, that he watched this with his 14-year-old daughter who was like home from school. And I told him like to please record 5 minutes with her and that we would tack it with no explanation on again to the end of this podcast. So I don't think he's doing it. But she was most disgusted by the, what did he say? She was horrified by the gross eating challenge. And then he says that eating live bugs is one of the many reasons an Orthodox Jew could never do a show like Survivor of the Challenge. Fun facts. Yeah, I mean,
that thing was quite big. And then a scorpion, like that was, I mean, that's something.
I hated this. I hate gross food eating. I don't watch it. I put my hand over it. I watch who like puts the balls in the basket and I look away while they eat. Like, I don't enjoy watching it. I get why they do it, but like this was extra disgusting.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say is like usually with these types of things, there's like a lot of excess vomiting, and at least we didn't have to deal with that. So I at least approve of that.
Oh, better than Kara. I would rather watch random vomiting than Kara vomit up the live worm.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so disgusted. All right.
I mean, Kara, like, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I know. Do you think she just got in her own head about people telling her she's going to melt down during a final and like, it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy that she's like convinced herself she was going to melt down and she just melted down.
I don't know. Look, I feel like there's a lot to the Kara and Polly story and the Kara story that we don't see. And I have speculated all season that Kara is getting an unfair edit despite me disliking her presence on the season. You know, like I'm not standing Kara, but something does not seem right to me in this situation. And while Kara is extremely emotional, and look, I can relate. Like this I really actually related to Kara here is like she's going to cry and complain about it, but she ultimately is going to do it. So like it's fine. You know, like she still beats two of the people on the UK team with the math breakdown. And we have no reason to believe that she took like an insane amount of time to eat that. She was just being a drama queen about it. So like, yes, can relate. But I just, something doesn't sit right with Kara's portrayal for me on this season. And that's all I can really say. Like, I can't speculate what's going on between her and Polly or her and the producers, but just, it's like, it's too shitty of an edit. And she's like, not that shitty. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to make. Maybe there's more going on. I don't know. I currently, at least just for me, based off what I'm seeing, I guess. And I'm just basing off, like, I mean, Kara is just like a very poor showing. And like everything that Jordan was saying leading up to this seems to be happening. So I could just only base off that.
But this is not necessarily the Kara we're used to seeing, is what I'm saying. Like, I'm not like, oh, yeah, like she's been to the final 9 times and like this is what was reasonably expected of her. I'm not saying she always has performed or that she's flawless, but like, from pretty much minute one, she was like suffering in this challenge, which is very bizarre.
That's very bizarre. The whole thing.
How bizarre? How bizarre? That should be on this soundtrack because they don't care about the music anymore. Okay. I also thought there was one bit of strategy that was not taken into account in this eating challenge. That like, why didn't they do it in order of who they thought would take the longest to eat if they missed?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I the only thing is, like, I mean, the 3 shots take, like, 10 seconds. So it wasn't like you were saving that much more time by having someone else go before.
But, like, from the first to the 7th person.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, it could have just been, I bet they weren't even thinking about it. I bet it was just like whoever got there just took the balls and started shooting. I bet there was no thought that went into it.
Do you think hearing it's a chicken nugget makes it better or worse to be eating that?
I don't know. I think if I was doing that, I wouldn't want anyone even to talk. I feel like I would just want to like be able to like visualize something to for myself to get it done. I feel like someone telling me it's a chicken nugget when I know it's not almost makes me think, okay, it's not a chicken nugget, so what the hell am I eating?
It did seem extremely annoying for someone who didn't have to eat. And I love Tori and I love her support this like whole time, but like it's a chicken nugget. It's a chicken nugget. Like is even grosser to me somehow. I will say there's absolutely no amount of money that you could pay me to eat that. Like I really scorpion. I wish I could. No, the scorpion maybe. I mean the grub, the cockroach, and like maybe I could do the scorpion, but certainly I just mean the whole situation.
No, definitely not. 100% not.
Like, if truly, like, I wish I could do it. I need the money. I'm not like, oh, there's, I'm not, you know, I, you couldn't get me. You couldn't buy me, whatever. If somebody was like, I will cut you a check for $1 million. You don't have to do the final. All you have to do is eat these three items. I physically would not be able to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you train for it.
You just eat gross stuff.
Ugh.
I guess, right? You practice how, like, practice eating with your, like, closing your nose and stuff like that. But I don't know.
Oh, I'm like nauseous even now. Like, even when I was a kid, when Jervis ate the girl, like, I could never watch it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Enough about me. What are we? Oh, we already. I'm sorry. Everything is so out of order because I just put things where I thought of them. But we are not talking about it now. This was the eating challenge is really where I was like, it's such a disadvantage that everybody has to eat on.
Yeah. The more that I think about it, that's a good point. It really should have just been five people eating.
Jake Goldblum says, do you think there was enough of a punishment for the UK losing every challenge this year and the finals were almost even without any problems?
Yeah, I think they would have been in a totally horrible situation. If Jordan and Tori didn't switch and they were on Team US, like, Team UK has no chance to win this final. So they had a disadvantage. Just Team US pushed two of their strongest guys to their team.
Yeah, and even if it, like, they should be, if the idea is that they should be punished for only having five people, generally, like, Will Simon, I think, responded to this comment or another and was basically like, it's not about how many people you have, it's about, like, getting the best team there, so you shouldn't be punished for the number of people. It's not, to me, like, a punishment for more or less people. It's just that, like, we shouldn't be doing so much to compensate for the results of the season. Like, the results of the season should impact the final. And I said it already on the podcast, so I don't need to, I guess, repeat it. But that's more my issue, is like, we're trying to make up for the fine result of the season.
Yeah, but I also think, I mean, this is still at the end of the day a TV show, and they're going to want to have the final be, at least, no matter what, be somewhat close. They're not like, Team US could have literally won every single one of the challenges, and they still would have won at least make some drama happened, so that I think no matter what, they would have tried to make it as even as possible.
Right, but I think they over. Then that's like I've already said. I think they overcorrected, and that's my problem. Is like it's like almost becoming an advantage. So I think if they had done the running, like let's leave the gurney holding and the weight distribution how it is, and let's give the people with seven people just like they had the advantage in the last few challenges. Like you can pick who your worst math. Like Kara can sit out of the math one. Mm-hmm. And whoever the worst Kara can, maybe you can't have the same person sit out of two checkpoints, yep. Right? But like somebody can sit out, two people sit out. And that would, to me, be enough to like equalize and still like pay tribute to the results of the season.
I totally agree with that. They should have had that built into it as well.
Best part of the gross food challenge, only good part for me, is Ashley screaming, take it like a shot, y'all. And scorpion tastes good. Scorpion tastes good. She loved this challenge.
It's not too bad. It's pretty good. I like it. I would order it on my own.
She's like unbelievable, Ashley.
Unbelievable.
Like, the fact that
she's unbelievable.
Is like the easiest. And I did have the same thought Zach did, though, that like the idea of swallowing it whole while more pleasant than biting into it does leave a live ass worm in your intestines.
Yeah, I feel like the move. Don't you have to like just quickly try to like kill it and then take it like a shot? I just don't want that thing like swirly going down my throat.
Okay. we're done. All right. Ba-ba-ba-ba. All right. So we're back at the punishment, which we discussed. Okay. So let's talk about Leroy's performance, though. This challenge. We're worried about him come next episode, but this episode, he is just an absolute beast.
Yeah, he's killing it. I mean, I think we have to give credit to that. It seemed like Zach is killing it. It seemed like him, Zach, Leroy, Zach, and Paulie were each on there almost the whole time. I think one of them each had a break each time, and all the other two are crushing it. They're doing all they need to do.
And Leroy is just like not even letting out a peep. Like even when Polly's like breaking and dying, like Leroy's only telling us to camera, like I'm doing the same thing. He's not like turning around and being like, Polly, you're pathetic. Like get up. You know what I mean? He's just like conserving his energy and just beasting it out.
Yeah.
Very
this
impressed.
This is the Leroy we've always kind of wanted to see. So this is him doing all he can.
The Leroy we always knew was there.
Yep.
Shelby Hein Miller says, is anyone surprised at how hard of a time Polly is having?
Yeah, I think we kind of discussed. It's not like that. I mean, I didn't think he would reach, like, you know, Zach on a mountain level stage, but this is, I mean, it's not that far-fetched after some of the stuff we've seen from it.
Yeah. I mean, to me, like, a lot of this had to do with dehydration. Like, I can't say that for sure, but from some tweets, it seems like it was really hot.
Yeah, and this is cramping almost always is tied to, like, severe dehydration.
And it's like it seems like he's having, like, full heat stroke. And somebody on the show was like, we have not been out here long enough to have this. As Carr was saying, like, you can't control when your body just gives out. But, like, you're an athlete. Like, why are you not properly hydrating? But, like, it's optional. You could figure it out. Like, maybe he's also afraid of IVs. He's afraid of drain. I don't know. Like, you can be consciously hydrating, like, probably the whole time you're on the show. I don't really understand. So it's hard to
Those water helmets, and they have those water helmets, and you would think that given how hot it was, they wouldn't be like, you only get like this X amount of water. I would assume they're generous with them giving them water and stuff. So I don't know.
Two things. I want to say, one, I'm loving that in your subconscious right now, you're picturing like the beer helmet with the straw. They had backpacks.
I definitely am.
Backpacks, Ryan.
It's a water helmet always.
I'm really getting thrown here. But I forgot the other thing. I was so distracted by the water helmet, so whatever. Oh, but it's not even just at the challenge. It's like, you need to be doing that like in the weeks prior. Like, you have to be, you know, whatever. Not that I run, but I hear that you should be hydrated. All right, who cares? Let's talk about the UK's, the Americans' decision to start carrying the sandbags.
Yeah, I mean, this has to lead to a penalty, right? I know that we didn't get it here, but I guess if you're that desperate just to finish, you might as well take the 10-minute penalty to save, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes, whatever it would have taken elsewhere. So you got to just do it and take the penalty.
Here's my question. Like, is it clear? I think they're going to get a penalty because we said that earlier at the top. But they also said that if your gurney breaks, like, you have to use it. So, like, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to keep the bags on the gurney and, like, all hold it by the little square and just let the bamboo hang. Like, to me, they seem to say that the bamboo wasn't worth their stretch. Was it broken, or were they just like giving up on it?
I mean, I think more of the latter, right? Because it seemed that it was, I think why they started just carrying is because Paulie was dying and whoever was doing it probably couldn't hold it up as well. So this was just their way to do it. And then I didn't seem like it, obviously it wasn't like fully broken, like it wasn't in pieces or anything. So I think they should have had to keep going with it.
I guess that's fair. Yeah. And Caroline, we got so many questions for this, but Caroline Alum says, didn't the rules say the bags had to be carried on the stretcher? So that would mean the U.S. team has a penalty coming their way too, right? And then that's sort of the question, is like 10 minutes sort of enough? So I guess I was getting too far down the rabbit hole of their stretcher was broken. So if their stretcher wasn't broken, then like, why is CT guilty of tampering with it? I guess tampering is still like pushing it, whatever. But then the other thing is like, who's determining the right amount of time? You know what I mean? Like, which, like, is any violation of the rules? Like, if they're carrying the sandbags for the entire checkpoint, the entire 4 miles, let's say, I know it's not that, but like half for 2 miles, is 10 minutes really equal to pushing them? Does that make sense? Like, is that
yeah,
right?
No, them? Yeah, I don't know the conversion rate from sandbag carrying to gurney breaking. But I would guess they just are like willy-nilly, just like 10 minutes, 10 minutes.
So then, yeah, they should be taking strategic penalties.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've seen that, right, in finals before. Like, I remember in either one of the finals, people were like, there's no chance I'm doing this checkpoint. I'm just going to take a nap for 30 minutes. And then I'm going to try to regain my strength for, like, the next portion of the running. So I think we've seen something like that happen before.
Fair enough. I don't even know where I am. We have so many questions. Honestly, it's been a while since we've had this many questions, and it's been awesome, but it's like, I'm bad at it. Do you think, well, let's just go back. People are into it. Like, was this a good standalone episode?
I think this portion of a final was good. In fact, especially because it's seemingly going to be more drama with people getting cut and stuff next week. I was into this final, especially because it was close. I was worried that U.S. would dominate, and obviously that is certainly not happening. So I was very much into this one.
I was upset that the episode ended, which is the first time in this entire season I felt that way. So shout out. But let's talk about we'll call Paulie maybe Little Easy, because he's like having a full gas head. He can't see at this point. And we got a lot of questions about how people should be handling that. So Jeremy Hamilton, friend of the pod, Jeremy Hamilton says, at this rate, do you think the U.S. team would be better off if Paulie just quit now rather than try to drag himself through the rest of stage one?
Yeah, I think in the moment, because if you know he can recover and be a helpful piece, then obviously you would want him to do it. But when you don't even know how helpful he would be, yeah, you'd probably rather him just like quit and give up. Especially because then, see, theoretically, they don't know that people are going to be cut, and then that leaves more of the potential winning pot to you.
What is the skill set that Paulie has that you feel like would be potentially valuable enough to like have to drag him across while the women exhaust themselves carrying like his bags?
Well, you would just that if he was able to regain his strength, like he was obviously being a huge help leading up to that point, carrying the gurney as much as he was, and we see him on other challenges, like he solves puzzles and stuff like that. So I think if he was back to his normal self, he definitely would be a help.
I'm not super convinced. Honestly, my thought at this point was like they should be calling medical on him. Like, well, just to get him out.
I 100% agree. I the fact that they didn't for as much as they did, like he's announcing he can't see, he's getting up, he's like shaking, he's like collapsing on the ground. Like, what needs to happen before they get there? Unless they just, I just couldn't believe that they wouldn't jump in.
Well, it's crazy that production and medical didn't just jump in. I more meant like Cam and Ashley, who are screaming at him and being like, what would Jordan say about this? Whatever. Like, they should be like to the producers, we need medical. That's what I mean. Like, they should be calling for it. Production should be doing it, but also like strategically, like get him out of here. Medical.
Yeah, no, I thought like Cam and Ashley, that was like horrible by them. How, you know, not to go like this route, but if this was the other way around, like let's say Cam was on the ground and Paulie was like, just get up, let's go. Like, Paulie would be getting crucified for doing that. So I don't want to let Cam and Ashley like completely off the hook, but I thought they were pretty despicable with how they were treating it.
I don't think it's a gender thing. I think it's like, okay, fair. I think it's more who's liked thing. Like, I think if Kara was on the ground and they were doing this, it would be the same reaction. You know what I'm saying? Like, or if Paulie was doing it to Kara or whatever. Like, I think it's more just like a Paulie's unlikable thing. So people let that fly, even though I thought that was an uncomfortable part of the episode.
Yeah, I think to some extent, but also like when you're like when people are struggling, that's one thing. But like this is like serious stuff. When he's like, I can't see, like clearly his body is shutting down. Like that's like dangerous stuff. So like as much as people may hate Paulie and stuff like that, like I didn't get any like even if I was a Paulie hater, or if this was Carr, like as much as I don't like Carr, I wouldn't want to see this at all from by any stretch.
I didn't want to see this. What I did enjoy, at least in the first half of this episode, is like what Zach was saying. And when Zach's like screaming at them, like, this is why I wanted strong people, and this is why your plan was an absolutely terrible plan. Like, and none of them could say anything because he was absolutely right. Like, that I enjoyed. I didn't enjoy Paulie like almost dying at all.
Yeah.
But it like with Kara and Ninja and Paulie, like it was and the people who are not in their alliance, Zach and like to a lesser extent Leroy, like those are the performers, and the people who were ringleaders are sucking. Like that was funny to me.
Yeah, that's fair. There's some joy to take from that for sure.
Marianne Curtin says, was Paulie just being a drama llama, or was it a legit medical breakdown? / either way, it was pretty hilarious. / now I'm wondering if he'll rally for part two.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is definitely legitimate. Like, what does he gain from going exactly over the top from this? Like, what, he's, like, trying to build his, like, underdog story or whatever? But, like, no, this was him. Real.
Yeah, even if, in the best case scenario, he triumphs and does well in the next part of it and the U.S. wins, like, he still looks bad. You know, not bad, bad, but it still, like, looks like, wow, he has a major weakness. You know, it's not like, yeah. Oh, wow. Like, it's much better to perform well through all stages.
100%. 100%.
And then this is where the episode ends, which I was really disappointed about.
Yeah, wanted to see more. Was ready to see more.
Edward Morris says, who in the UK team is going to probably get eliminated?
So, I mean, if it comes down to a puzzle, I would guess Rogan, right? Like, he's got to be the leading contender to get cut.
I don't know who's necessarily most likely, although I think that's a decent one. But I did enjoy Jeremy Hamilton's response to this, which is, I'm hoping it's Rogan because it would be hilarious for Team UK to finish with no remaining players actually from the UK.
That would be pretty fun.
Yeah, I almost think on the UK, it could be anyone's game, like, or not anyone's game, but I think D, although D was good at puzzles with Wes, but like just the way that they both kind of choked in the math thing, not that that was a puzzle, but just kind of maybe shows some weaknesses and pressurized situations. And I think Tori, Jordan, and CT are all very strong, not only in having been in situations like this before, but also good at puzzles.
Yeah, that's fair.
So things probably between D and Rogan.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see like what leads up to the puzzle. If there's any portion that, like, you know, is there endurance that leads up to it that someone can build a lead on, or if there's a physical portion that builds up to it, or if it's just straight, like, you know, everyone's in like little corner solving a puzzle. So, well, there's some mystery to that portion.
And then what about the U.S. team?
Yeah, I mean, definitely Leroy is one of the leading contenders. Kara's a leading contender. So what, three people get cut? So one more.
I think it's two, isn't there? Aren't they only up two people? Oh yeah, but then it goes to four. Sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would think Ashley is probably pretty safe. I would guess Cam is probably pretty safe. I guess then if Paulie dies, he's out. So there you go. There's your three.
That's right. So I think you think it's Leroy no matter what?
I mean, I certainly hope not. But if, you know, leading contender favorites, I would say it's Leroy and Kara as the top two leading contenders to go home in that portion.
Do you think this is going to change the game at all? Like, do you think, given that we've had two seasons now where people have been cut during the final, that we're gonna see people like wanting to bring people to the final so that if there's a cut they survive it?
I mean, sort of, but also I don't know if that necessarily changes it, because people still kind of want to bring layups as far as they possibly can, including if they can bring them to a final to beat them. So I don't know if that necessarily changes it too much.
I guess it's really on a team final, which we're never gonna have again.
Yeah. Although, I mean, we've seen like six pairs, I feel like, be go to a final and then some of them be cut along the way. So it goes kind of both ways.
Or it's when it's individual. Like, well, the last one, right, it was individual. They were paired up for certain things and then they got cut as individuals, right?
Yeah. We've seen kind of all fast.
Yeah. So, because I think it adds at least another wrinkle, because, like, usually if you're individual, you want to have weak people you can beat, but you have to be considerate, I guess, gender-wise of who you might be paired with. But so I guess you're still right that you're into it. Anyway, this is what happens when I go off the cuff and ask my own questions. Okay, let's get back to the script here. I have a question from Akiva Winokur, who asked, this is a screenshot because he's, I guess, too good to put it on the question thread. How would you cut the teams from 7 or 5 to 4 for the second part of the finale? Do you have a better idea than a puzzle?
Unfortunately, I feel like that's probably the fairest. I mean, I'm definitely glad it's not like food portion. I feel like that would be the worst. I mean, I guess you could do an endurance type thing. But I'm fine with the puzzle.
What do you think of Akiva's idea? He says, I say the winning team should make the decisions for both teams. So the winner of part one gets to pick who leaves from their team and who leaves from the other team.
I think that's too much power. If you were doing that, I would say, like, make it an elimination where the winning team gets to pick people to face off with, like, maybe one of each going home, but, like, to knock out two people from each team, I think that's too much power.
What about the winning team gets to vote and make the decision for their own team, and the losing team goes to a puzzle? Like, that kind of, like, the losing team goes to whatever the random winner generator is, and the winning team gets at least the reward of making their team stronger.
Eh. Yeah, I think you just keep it simple. I think if you overcomplicate it, it kind of gets a little messy. Just keep it simple.
See, I hate that it's going to be a puzzle if it's a puzzle for both teams. Like, I actually hate it. I don't like when just one small, like, to me, like, the end of the challenge should be, like, are you good at all of the things combined? And, like, can you pull your weight to, like, get to the end? And not just, like, one discrete part of it blows the whole thing. When you could have been, like, as Leroy was, the best person. And this would go if I didn't even like Leroy. Like, it's just, like, you can be the absolute best and then just get saddled with one thing that your time might have been better on the other. You know what I mean? Like, you could have compensated elsewhere.
All right, so I have a... All right, so here's a better idea. I think, what if you... They told people were being cut, and the four checkpoints, everyone does them all individually, and on each team, the two people with the slowest combined times across all the checkpoint activities get cut.
Yeah, that's fine. I just really do like someone, like, one team to have, like, a reward for this and have some agency. Like, I would... And I also would like the drama of a vote. Like, how great would... And I know I'm not going to convince you here that this is the right thing, but what I like about it is, like, how sick would next season be when, like, CT, Rogan, Tori, and Jordan voted D out in the middle of the final? Like, you can't come back from that. Like, mm-hmm. that is such a sick vendetta situation. Like, I would like that, and I would like the drama moment of that. And so I agree that it shouldn't be... Like, I almost think, like, tallying up the times and then sending them, I would be contractually obligated to complain that we don't believe them, and mm-hmm. that's, like, messy and whatever. So, but I would like that more than a puzzle, for sure. I would just like, I would be fine if both teams voted someone out. Like, I just think that's, like, an exciting situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we saw voting stuff last season, right? Or, yeah, a few seasons ago, we saw some voting go on during a final, and it does add stuff to it. I think it all depends on the flow of a final. So I guess we'll still have to see exactly how this plays out, right? Like, it could be a puzzle, but also it could be stuff leading up to it. Like, there could be a race, and then finishing the puzzle is the last portion of the race to be cut. So there's still portions to be seen.
I really only remember them having to compete over who got the, like, the last amount of oars to get to the end. So, okay. Anyway. That's all I have for this episode.
That's great. I thought this was great. I feel like we're ending the season strong.
We still have all the other crap that we do to deal with.
We could do that.
All right. So, 5-star reviews, first and foremost. Thank you to Heat, the 2003, and... I'm sorry, HEA, just He, the 2003, and Mark Lanta. And I think that's it. I think somebody who was a 2-star review last week is now a 5-star review with the same negative comment, but we'll shout them out. JMH85JMH, because we don't care.
I guess we got the police. We got the bump up. That's better than nothing.
So thank you. If you want to go and leave us a 5-star review so we can also finish out the season strong, you can do so at robhosawebsite.com/challenge iTunes.
Go for it.
You want to do a drinking game? You want to do Twitter?
Yeah, I'll do a drinking game. We got one for Test to Pass the Time, pre-final workout. We got two, you know, a song that's played. So even though we're weird choices, Kyle knew them. Two animations.
Wait, what was the first one? Something to pass the time?
Yeah, with like doing something in the house to pass the time because you're bored.
Hmm.
And there was them working out, which I don't think really was the letter of the law.
Was that? Is that you?
Yeah, that was mine.
I wasn't on that episode.
It was when they were playing like cards or something like that, or chess.
Gotcha.
Two animations. One moment of Lamb. I guess that could be their name. Cam and Leroy being a couple. Four says something nice about someone. I don't even remember that. When was that added?
Who says something nice?
Yours.
Say it again.
Says something nice about someone.
Yeah, I think I was trying to, like, bring positivity.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. And then Rogan mentioned Vendetta. And Gara cited her challenge stats. So one more. So what was that total? 12. There's 12, but probably more.
Somebody else cited Kara's challenge stats, too. So maybe...
Yeah, I think Ashley was. Ashley was saying, like, this is your 9th final.
So it's a negative. It's a double-edged sword. It works for you, and it works against you.
Yep.
All right. Some tweets. Thank you to Megan Elizabeth. I just assume we're not adding anything for next week.
No, I think it okay.
Megan Elizabeth brought us some tweets. Tori Deal, LOL, focus on the game, not the booty at Jordan. Okay. Jordan, huge, a rare moment of positivity from Jordan. Huge shout out to the rest of Team UK for coming together in this final. That heat was insane. Oh, I guess I think I was using this to mean the heat. Does he mean the heat, or like, was that a heat? Like round one was a heat. I think he meant the heat.
I think he meant the temperature.
A fire emoji or like a sun emoji might have been helpful, Jordan. Just saying.
Yeah, they've been everything.
Faith Stowers, famous quitter. No, sorry. Faith said, so I am Cam carrying the whole front of the gurney, hashtag beast. So yeah, shout out to Cam. Not great strategy, but good for Cam. Natalie Excuses Duran says, being shorter than everyone else on the gurney makes it extremely more difficult to aid in carrying the weight. But no excuses. Time to zone out, get effed up, and finish.
Sounds like an excuse.
Just emoji. Sorry, I couldn't say like pound emoji. Like, also, D is short. What do you mean? Like, you see the UK team performing effortlessly with CT, who's like a giant. like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And then Natalie said, Leroy, you're a damn beast, carrying more times than Zach, and not once do I remember you complaining, fighting for you. Flex emoji. Not doing a great job of fighting for him. Okay. And then I pulled some stuff. I went to Kara and I took the dangerous voyage into Kara and Polly's Instagrams. And Kara, of course, had a million relevant Instagram stories, so I had to screenshot them. She said, not fun fact, and it's a picture of her doing the math. On my high school entrance exam, when I hit the math portion, I walked to the front of the class and blacked out and had to be taken away. Well, tilted laugh cry emoji. Okay. Then she's our two girls / two guys were carrying a lot more weight than their three guys / one girl going strong USA heart emoji. I don't love how Kara like uses gender selectively, but I'll move on. Yeah. She Instagrammed a tweet that Derek posted when Derek K, not to be confused with the other Derek H. Is that right? Derek H.
When see, hey, I don't know.
No, Derek K is Derek K from Challenge Mania / you know, the legendary. I thought it was H. When the guy Derek C is like the new character on this one. Who's Derek C? Is Muffin. It is Derek C. Okay, when the guy that looks like the Hulk says he's gonna take a quick 4 mile break and put the weight of $1 million on Ninja and Kara's shoulders. Wonder how much that's going to hurt. What is this emoji? Oh, weasel. Like, weasel emoji. That's a new one. Did you know? Or, like, it's like beaver? It's like a... Who are the guy? Like, who are the things that are smaller than seals that, like, swim and play?
Ooh. I have no idea. Smaller than seagulls.
Seals. A little larger than a seagull. Otters. Oh, otter emoji. I think it's like an otter.
Okay. It's a very specific emoji.
I think he meant it as a weasel, but it looks to be on the water. I don't know. We'll get into that. Okay. Sorry. That was more interesting to me than any of her Instagrams. What do you think of Dirksen? This obviously a hit at Zach, that Zach should not have taken a break and let Kara and Ninja have to do it.
I mean, if he needed a break, he needed a break. He didn't want to, like, we saw what happens when you don't take a break with Paulie. So I'm not going to shame him for taking a break. We're going to shame Paulie for not.
Yeah. Here's what I don't want. I don't need guys coming in next season who are already pretty misogynistic. Not everyone, but some. And saying, like, we can't have girls on our team at the end because they're not going to be able to pull their weight in the final. Like, that's what I don't want. So I'm not going to say that, like, Leroy and Zach should have been on the whole time. Although, now that I think about it, was it just Tori and D rotating out, and it was CT, Jordan, and Rogan doing it the whole time?
Yeah, but then I guess to Kara's point, they were carrying 40 pounds less.
I agree. All right. Weird flex, but okay. Yeah. And then two other things. Oh, one, this is crazy. And we didn't talk about this because, like, I think this situation happened and maybe I was going to bring it up and then we had a sub or I didn't want to talk about it. And then I was just like, you know what? Why are we bringing this energy into the podcast? But do you, or maybe we did talk about it. Who knows? Did we talk about Georgia's blackface incident?
Oh, I don't think we did. And yeah.
Okay. So Georgia, you can look it up. It was discussed. The reason I'm bringing it up now is that Georgia did an interview on Challenge Mania. So if you're interested, you can listen there. And Georgia retweeted it. And I guess she addresses the situation. So from what I remember, there was a picture of her with face paint on and totally obviously horrible and inappropriate and like whatever. And then there was some debating, like Theo was like, remember, like we're from the UK, like it's different history, whatever. Okay, so that was a whole different thing. You can read about it and you could pass your own judgment or whatever. Here was Georgia, and I just thought this tweet was so beyond insane that I have to read it on the podcast. Blackface situation explained in my own words. I am sorry from the bottom of my heart for any hurt caused, but there was no malicious intent behind the pictures. I never painted my face. A young boy did at a kid's party, and I wasn't aware that people do it to support racism.
That's crazy. That's wow. I don't think I've ever heard it described that way. I support it.
That is a fundamental misunderstanding of why what she did was a problem. But
I just don't think I've ever.
and a quick blame thrown.
I've never heard that before in my life. I'm supporting the racist. Wow.
Yeah. So I had to, I'm sorry to like end on that note, but I was truly one of the most iconic apology tweets I've ever seen. Instantly iconic. Yeah. I'll end on a better note. Two things. One, how are you, I know the answer to this, but are you Brian Cohen, not to be confused with Cohen Brian, tuning in to X on the Beach, Peak of Love?
No, I tried X on the Beach last time. It didn't grab me. So I don't think I'll dive into this one.
I watched a preview of it. Because it, like, you know, there's overlap, so I'm for certainly gonna watch it. I love it. The one you watched was like not, it was not X on the Beach's peak at all. It was like bad X on the Beach. I don't blame you, but it's a great show. And they're taking it to a winter version in New Zealand, and they have Nicole, Laurel, Jemmy, Marlon from The Real World Portland, and The Challenge. Mm-hmm. Who is bisexual, which I didn't know that. Not that it's like my business to know, but he was talking about it.
Kind of fling.
Oh, then maybe I did know that. Wait, I'm getting confused.
Derek was from Cancun, I think. Real World Cancun. This might have been before we podcast.
It definitely was. I don't think. Well, whatever. Okay, so good for that for me for being able to watch X on the Peak. Whatever. I'm excited about this. Okay, so Marlon's back. Adore Delano from RuPaul's Drag Race is on. And this is just honestly off the top of my head. I'm not even reading the list. So a lot of exciting people. I'm excited to see Jemmy again. I'm excited to see Jemmy like where she could just like talk a lot of shit. And that's the object of the show. So that's Thursday. So by the time this is out, the first episode will have already aired. So check that out or don't. And then an agent update. Did you hear how we declined your nap?
Yeah, I appreciate you declining at 8 o'clock booking on a Saturday. I support that cause.
It was 5 o'clock, but regardless.
But still, thank you.
My projection was that it would be like 5 to 8, like most Renap podcasts are like 100 hours. And Akiva like took umbrage with me saying like making it look bad, like we declined. So I was like, I said we declined, and then I immediately was like, it's only because I badgered Akiva, and then they went with their top choice. Like, it was not me flexing on Renap at all. But it was a good episode of Renap, if you're interested in checking it out with Mike and Leon.
Maybe I'll chuckle. Not to, like, be, like, one of those people, but I mean, I don't know. I should probably listen to... That's also how I can branch out. Let me listen to some other podcasts. I'll do that. That's on my next list.
I'll think about what's the, like, Renap has had this debate. Akiva never had this debate of like, what's the Renap like introductory show. Give me a
couple of good ones because I have like 50 hours of flights coming in the next couple of weeks, so I can really use some stuff to have in the back burner to listen to. So I'll take what he can get.
And then it became an idea for the wheel that they like make the like starter episode where they like keep track of all the lore and like explain like an introductory episode. But I don't think they're doing that. So, all right, that'll be my next project. I will get back to you on that. And I will shut up now after an hour and a half of talking about an hour television show.
And you can subscribe to this at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Ryan _. You can follow you
at Last Tweets.
We'll be back next week to see who wins. You have a final prediction. Who you think is going to win after what we saw?
If it were to continue like this, I think it's UK. If it goes to four, I think it could be the US. Like, I'm still back the UK. I'm still going to back the UK.
Yeah, I think US finds a way to pull it out. I don't know how it goes down, but I feel like US finds a way to pull it out. So
they're going to trim their fat. They're going to have the opportunity to trim the fat that the UK has had the whole time. So.
Yeah. And I think Paulie actually bounces back. I don't think he leaves the game. So that's also my pick.
Yeah, that's a fair one. It's annoying, but fair.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens next week. Until then, have a good one.